Okay, we're going to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. It's becoming popular in our culture to find out more about your ancestry, where you came from, supposedly who you are or whatever. I think it's kind of funny. Sometimes people think they're Scottish and they do some research and they find out they're not Scottish at all. They're Italian or something, or Spanish or Chinese. And I was like, oh, I thought I was Scottish all my life. Now I'm not. But, you know, people are interested in finding their roots and stuff. And then really some people to a degree identify with that. They'll all of a sudden they're really interested in whatever that country's culture is, and you know, they'll identify with it. And you know, in the scriptures, in Matthew and Luke, it gives the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and God shows where he came from. So it's not that it's a bad thing. It's just sometimes you can't rely on the information given by these researchers. We were at dinner with Susan's brother and sister-in-law. I guess my in-laws, too. And she said that some person they knew had given one of these companies that does the research their information for themselves and also for their dog. And they came back showing the country that the dog from and the characteristics of the and I thought, okay then. So reliability of information is not always reliable. But if we go to God's word, we're always getting reliable information. So there's a verse of scripture here in Psalms talking about man. You know, it's good to know where we came from, what we are, and there's a great question that comes up in Psalms 8 here. And we're going to start with verse 3. It says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" What a question. "And the son of man of which thou visitest him." You know, when you look at the greatness of all that God created, and then, you know, what's a man that you're even considering him? You know, it's a great question. Verse 5, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels." And the word angels should be referring, it is the word for God in Hebrew. "And thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and men, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." To read God's word and to find out who you are, boy, what a surprise and a thrill that becomes and is. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. God is intensely interested in man above all else. Well, we know he's interested in his word, but as far as the things that have been created. So we go to find out who we are, not to these websites. You give them your DNA and find out you're Chinese. But we go to God's word. And this is one of the greatest, most exciting verses you could ever read. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We know it by memory. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, but it knew him, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now we are sons of God. That's pretty cool. As good as it gets. You find out, you do your research, and you find out, hey, I'm related to God Almighty. I'm his kid. I found out I'm his kid. I remember the first time I learned that, I was like, holy something or another. I'm actually God's kid. It just was rocked me on the inside. I thought, wow, I guess I'm a little bit better than I thought I was. After that, my life changed. Let's go to chapter 1 of 1 John. We are God's kids. We are sons of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Wow. What a group to be with. God Almighty, his Son, Jesus Christ, and you, and all of other God's kids. What a group. Not bad. Not a bad deal, really. I think we snuck in there pretty good. Let's go to chapter 2. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, you have an advocate, a defense attorney, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we not only have that fellowship available to us with God, that, and Jesus Christ has been hired, so to speak, appointed, charged with the advocacy of God's people. When there's a break in the relationship and the devil's in there trying to make you look so bad, he's right there defending you to keep that relationship sweet and open. I mean, it's quite a deal. It's a really unbelievable deal. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. I think we've read this verse of scripture once or twice. Romans chapter 10. So we were having dinner with Susan's brother and sister, and also sister and brother-in-law, actually. And they have come to the realization, which has been decades in the coming, that the Roman Catholic Church has scammed people for centuries. And you know, they're talking and talking, and it's like, how could they do this? And I so they're in the throes of it. And so I finally got my word in, and I said, you know, when I was first learning about the Bible, I started realizing that Roman Catholic Church was saying a lot of things that have nothing to do with the Bible. And they used to be against everything that we talked about. And they were like, they didn't say a word. And I said, I even, you know, brought it up to your father. You know, he said he had the class that taught about the Bible, and the teacher said, today we're going to talk about whether Jesus Christ knew whether he was the Son of God or not. And I chuckled. I said, it clearly states that he knew he was the Son of God. He said he was the Son of God. And they didn't say a word. They were like, I guess you were right.
Little sister God.
So, who knows? They may keep getting realizations, and who knows? You might see another fellowship. But it took 40-some years, but they finally realized we've been had. Now they're like pissed. They really are.
Yeah,
they're pissed.
As long as we're not pissed at God. No.
At the Roman Catholic Church, that's that they funny. Have hoodwinked people for centuries. Because he said, it's not just now, it's been going on for centuries. Yeah. So anyway, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. What a sweet verse. Verses these are 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Boy, just great words. That's how we get born again, of God's Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. But to find out that you do a little research in God's Word and you find out you're a son of God. That's pretty thrilling. It's really thrilling. Now, someday they may figure not only is Roman Catholic messed up, but they may start saying, hey, we're actually children of God. Hope it doesn't take another 40 years. But, you know, when you start seeing things in the Word of God and understanding things, it increases. And it's, boy, what a joy. So Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also, or be also glorified together with him. What a great truth to realize that we're sons of God. And, you know, just incredible. Who is man that God is mindful of him? That's pretty incredible. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. We are God's children, as we know, because of the Spirit of God that he has given us. We have his nature. And we have this because of what Jesus Christ did, accomplished, in, as we know, in the work of redemption. If it wasn't for what he did, we would be stuck going to these other websites. Okay. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, born or made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption, the word again for sonship, the sonship of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's exciting. It's really exciting to hold in our thinking that, yes, we are God's kids. I may have a couple screw-up things in my life, but I'm God's kid. Those screw-up things aren't going to last forever through all eternity, but the sonship will. The screwy things, they're going to drop. It's a matter of time. If we can do it with the renewed mind process of placing the Word of God on and those screwy things leave, that's terrific. If not, they're still going to leave in due time. But the sonship doesn't end. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. I mean, if all we ever knew about the Bible and about God and about ourselves is that we're a son of God, if that's the only truth we understood, that's enough to rock our souls and keep us happy every single day. To know I'm God's kid. It's really wonderful. Chapter 6, verse 3. We're going to read 3 through 13. And this section of Romans deals with, you know, the first command to mankind in the New Testament is in verse 11. But it shows the identification that we have with what Jesus Christ did and to Jesus Christ. Because people do like to identify with things. I'm not a sports person, as you know. I got nothing against sports, but I noticed through the years some people are really into sports, which is great. Nothing wrong with it. But sometimes people talk about the sport their team, whether it be baseball or whatever, as if they own it. And they talk about the trades we're doing, and we picked up this guy, and we let that guy go. And I used to laugh at it. I was like, really? But, you know, then it became endearing to me in the sense that, you know, they just so identify with that team that it's we and not them type of thing. And that, you know, yeah, we traded that. We didn't think that guy was a good pitcher. And it's funny. It's cute. But we identify with Jesus Christ. So, and what he accomplished for us. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he was raised, we were raised. He got new life, we got new life. And we're to walk in that newness. For, verse 5, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, the word is really should be was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And the word destroyed there is for more of disarmed, unemployed. It doesn't mean it's destroyed where it's no longer there. It's without effect. It's like in war times they try to break up the road so that the enemy army can't get down the road. So they do whatever they do to it, or they blow up the bridges so that it's unusable. And what Jesus Christ accomplished is so that our old man nature can be inoperable in our lives. At the gathering, when we get new bodies, that's when it's completely gone. It's just not there anymore. That's when all the bad stuff finally leaves. But here we can live a life that's as if we don't have an old man nature. Which is incredible. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's incredible. We do have a life that's far above what people in the world have because of our sonship. These things just, I mean, nobody would think in their right mind if they didn't know God's word that, hey, I'm a son of God and I got all these great things and I can live like I don't have any sin. I can have a God nature that trumps all. So, something. Let's go to 1 Corinthians while we're in the ballpark, chapter 2. Chapter 2. So to think and to be cognizant of and thankful for what we have in Christ Jesus and the things that Jesus Christ did, just incredible. We can identify with that. Chapter 2, verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. We have been given a lot of things. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Mary brought up about the mercy seat. John brought up about having peace with God. There are so many things that we have available to us and have been given to us in this sonship thing. It's just incredible. So we're going to read a couple verses in Ephesians. Otherwise, we'll be here all day, which wouldn't be a bad idea. But, I mean, Ephesians is chock full of what God has done for us. Chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That kind of covers it all. I mean, anyone you can think of, you got it. Incredible. It's so big we have no clue of how big it is. And we've been in order a while, and we still don't know how big it is. Bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated unto the adoption of children of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. Verse 19. We'll do 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Just incredible. So we should never forget that we are sons of God. We should never forget the fellowship, the sweetness of the fellowship that we have with him. We should never forget the identification that we have with him. And we should never forget the power that we have available because we are sons of God. So the old song, we are sons of God with power. Yeah, we are. We have a walk that is so different than the world. It's just so different. And, things sneak up on us. That happens. But we have a walk that's far greater. So we are God's son. And how's that for a genealogy, right? And you don't even have to pay for it. I don't know how much those research things cost, but one penny is too much when you know this. So... Anyway, but what a great truth to keep in our heart that we are God's kids. It's really nice.